It's good to see everybody this morning. I'm going to very quickly go ahead, and I have a video that will give you an idea of some things that people, places, and things. And afterwards, if somebody's got a mic, we may need to be able to have that if someone has a question. Not everybody has a loud mouth like I do, and be able to speak up. So let's go ahead and we'll cut the lights. Is there any way we can kill those guys? Everyone likes to know what's going on in the village. And so the houses consist of a compound with round houses. This particular one has a zonomat door, which is a grass mat. The round rooms are connected by mud walls. This is a compound that's in the process of being built. The doors haven't been put in. There's still a partial wall there. Again, another shot. You can see the thatches, the grasses that are on top. The ones that are lighter here are new thatch that they've repaired. During the dry season, everything gets really dry. This particular house right here, if you have the money to have a little bit of paint, you'll put some paint there. Individuals will do it. This is a shop, a little kiosk where they sell in the village. Again, another shot of a compound. This little room right here is like a bathhouse. So you would come in and take your bath there. This is a pangola. The two men that was there was Timothy Nelligrini and John Enchola, evangelists that work with us. We went to one village, and on this stick right here is a gaboon viper head. A gaboon viper has the largest fangs of any poisonous snake in the world. And they make good chop, or good food. They're a big snake. When I say big, they're big around, but they're only about 4 or 5 feet long. But they carry a lot of meat. And if you're hungry, you don't get meat, and you'll take anything you can get. And you'll see that here in a little bit. This canoe is made out of sawn wood. They'll keep it there along the bank so that it keeps it from drying out. It leaks like a sieve. You're all the time using something to bail out the water. This is a rat that was caught in the compound. This is Night Watchman Teacher. He's really happy. He caught this rat. You can see he looks sort of scruffy. Has mange or whatever. But Teacher was so happy. He rung the doorbell. This was about 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening. He'd gotten that rat. These little kids have got a couple of rats. And what they're doing, you know, the way we singe hogs, well, y'all, most of y'all probably haven't singed hogs before. But anyway, we scrape the hair off or singe the hair off of it, the pigs. That's what they're doing to this rat. This is a rat right here, and there's another small one that you'll see in a minute. And so these kids are sitting there with bated breath because they know they're going to get something to eat. They're trying to, they've got that smaller rat, and they're trying to get him singed off. In a moment, they will pick this rat up so you can see the other side half singed. Y'all go out and think about that now when you go out to dinner, today. I'm sure that it'll be quite appetizing for you. Fresh, clean water. Don't you want to drink out of this pool? And this is what a lot of the water looks like. Wash day is Sunday. So when we go out on Sundays, which we always do, you're going to see people out washing their clothes. This little girl's method is to, you know, to pump it up and down and throw some water on it. She's got a bar of soap right here, and she'll scrub that on there. This little boy, his method is to beat the clothes, you know, on the rock. Now, whether that works or not, I don't know. But you don't have any clotheslines because, especially during the dry season, you're going to go to where the water is at, and you don't have a clothesline. So they take their clothes. They'll even lay it right out on the dirt along the road. This lady, you see, she's rubbing her clothes with the soap. And don't think that we're so far away from the way this used to be here in the United States. I remember when my mother, she thought she was in hoggy heaven when she got a Ringer washing machine. This water is the same water that everybody comes and bathes in and washes their clothes. What she's going to do with this water right here, she's going to take it home so they can drink it. It's the lady's job to use the cow dung plastering on the rooms. This is a bathhouse. And so she's out there. What keeps them from getting tetanus, I do not know. I really think that they must have an immunity. Because when you've got your hands in that that cow dung, tetanus is just, I mean, it's there. But you don't see it so much. When you walk into a compound, the compounds that are square rooms with the iron sheets on top, they're usually square. And you walk in, you look at the rocks that are here. Usually, this is where each pot sits. This denotes usually how many wives the man of the house has, because each wife has a different place for her to cook. You'll also see the animals walking around. This mother is getting some water out of the kettle, and it looks like it's borehole water because it's clear. This is a mortar. It's a wooden mortar that they'll crush their corn. This is dawa dawa. Dawa dawa is a bean that grows on one of the trees, and they'll take that and use that for cooking and seasoning. A water pot sitting alongside the house. This is a chief's room. When you walk in, that's where we go to greet the chief when we're talking about that in the Yenny notes. This lady's making TZ. That's spelled T-Z. TZ. The Z is the English for... or the Z, yeah, is for Z. She's cooking this. In the background, this is okra. They call it okra. Chia nuts, where you get the shea butter. They don't call it shea. They call it chia. A grinder. Here, this machine right here has got the flywheel. It's most of them run on diesel. The 55-gallon drums are the water that they use to help cool it. This is the machine that actually grinds it. It's got the hopper on top of it. The flywheel right here, well, he's going to put this band on it. The band can be made out of old tires. They'll take the tires, use anything that they can, and that's what powers it. Those belts occasionally come off. When we're traveling to go, you know, out into the bush, you'll see a lot of things. This guy has got a kitchen cabinet, chest of drawers on the back of his motorcycle, and so he's got it strapped on because there's not, you know, you do the best you can. Livestock truck. The people are going to be inside. Now these are sheep and goats that are on top. It's not uncommon to see this at all. This particular driver, he's got trying to get them all tied up there. You feel sorry for him, but this guy, at least he's got a cargo net, so he's throwing the cargo net over to try to make sure that they don't fall off. You know, you don't want to lose any of those animals. You're liable to see anything. These are bicycles. They've had the pedals taken off. They're broken down. If you want to ride, you get up on one of these big old cargo trucks. And that's where the problem comes. If you have an accident, that cargo truck comes over on the leg and there's a lot of amputees that happen because of it. If you're a girl, it's your job to carry water. So these little girls are doing their part. This lady's got a big old bundle of sticks. She may be using it for firewood. And so you can see how it's a heavy load because you can tell by their gait. Uh-oh, this hog is not in very good shape. You see a rope. They normally do not tie their pigs. The Kokombas that we work with, they call a pig an Ogbe. And this Ogbe, he's on his way out. They got him tied up. These three rounded bottom structures are grain bins. And they will pitch those inside and out and put their grain inside, its thatch on top, and they use that to try to keep the rats and other vermin, you know, away. They do a pretty good job, but the rats can still get up in there and do damage. These buildings right here, they are on stilts. They are also grain bins. A lot of times they'll put their corn, ear corn or something like that in it. Really a big problem trying to keep the animals out of it. These are sheep. The sheep in Ghana do not have wool. These have hair. We were in one village. Timothy Nellegrini's looking at this contraption. It's actually a lion trap. We don't have any lions around our area now, but that thing, it's huge. And we've got one of those at our house here in the States. Little kids are sitting on the pangola. Every place has got one in the village. They have numerous ones. They were watching us. This is cassava. The stores around here will call it yucca. But this is cassava. This is where you get tapioca. And this is a big piece of cassava that was grown there on the property. And it's huge. It's what they call a three-year cassava. And they would love it if all of their cassava looked like this. But they use this as a starch to help make their TZ stick together in a ball. Farmers, you can see these round discs for the plows. That's not a disc. It's actually a plow, and that's what they use. The smaller tractors are also common. They don't have really any means or don't make any attempt to try to level out the ground, use a harrow or anything like that on it. If you have dead furrows, you just got dead furrows, which is not necessarily a good thing when you're trying to be able to plant. We had a chameleon come into the compound. These chameleons are thought to be to have strong juju, and they kill these even when they're out on the road. And that's why I stopped. You'll see where I stopped and picked one up. This little guy, I'm not sure about what they might carry as far as disease, so I don't like for him to bite me or to hold on to me. But you can see his tail, he's got it curled up. He's not too worried. He wasn't moving around much. This is a weaver. He's got his shuttle. You can see him tossing it back and forth. Very simple. They make these into 4-inch strips. This is material that Candy was having made. And they take these 4-inch strips and they sew them together. And that's how they get their cloth. And this is quite, you know, it's costly to be able to have this cloth. So you use this kind of clothing for special occasions. Candy gets so tickled to see these speckled and spotted cows. If you remember the story of Jacob and Laban, you know, that how they were separated. And you don't see this very often, but we happen to see these occasionally. This is a little bull calf. And this is during the dry season. These cattle, they are gaunt. In the child center, this little Abdullah Shaman, he and his little friend was walking down the street in Yendi, had a vehicle hit both of them. His other little friend lost his life. Abdullah, he lost, this leg was broken, but they were able to heal it. This one, they had to remove. And so he's going to require prosthesis. And as young as he is, it's going to be multiple prosthesis for him to be able to use that. So we wanted to take a shot of him. We just need to be thankful for what we have. This little guy, it's by the Lord's God's grace, he lived. Now then, going to church services on Sunday morning, you know, we like for you to be able to understand what we go through. And especially if it's rain Saturday night and we're going out Sunday morning, a lot of these mud holes are in the road. And you always wonder, you know, I'm glad I've got the four-wheel pickup, because you don't know sometimes how deep this water actually is. And I don't want to have to get out there. During a dry season, it's quite dangerous to be out on the road, especially for these motorcycles. They, you know, you can't see them, and they love to dodge in and out. And sometimes you don't dodge, and you get hit by a Dodge. These guys are sitting up on top. You know, and here you got a motorcycle that's coming, and I believe this is a shot where another motorcycle, look, yep. You know, cuts right there. We're stationary, but, you know, people get hit and hurt very bad. Another shot of a bus. Shortly after that, a guy almost hit the rear end of us with a motorcycle because he wasn't watching what he was doing. I was contemplating trying to pass through this one. And I finally decided, no, I'm just not going to chance it because I just don't know. The truck is a diesel. I'm not quite so worried as with a gasoline engine, but I don't want to have to find somebody to help pull the vehicle out. So I'm creeping around it. Be glad for the roads we got, folks. Be glad. Some of them are not in good shape, but they're what other people have to go through. It just makes you appreciate what you have. You know, the holes, I have traveled through some holes that were so deep that when the vehicle went down into the hole, you barely could see the top of the vehicle. They're that deep. And so, you know, trying to go around this, you know, the place may not be so far, but it takes a long time when you're having to dodge holes like that. Of course, dealing with their evangelism, that's the reason that we're there. John and Chola on this side, Timothy Nellegrini on the right. They have a church building at Bung Bali. It's so hot that it's so much better to be out under an nim tree. The Lord provides air conditioning there. At Mopito, the church is somewhat small, but a lot of these kids come out from the village. It gives us an opportunity to be able to teach Bible stories to them, and they get a big kick out of it, and it's a good way of teaching. Here in a minute, you're going to see everybody. They're gonna raise their hand and wave big time. They love cameras. They love cameras. At Silva Vito, the congregation is outside underneath a little lean-to that is by the school building. They now have a church building. They just recently have been able to move in it. But it's so much cooler to be able to be out in a little lean-to like this because it allows the air to flow. At Bordeaux, they have a nice little building, but it's so hot. There's a door right here, and over on this side, they got two small windows, and those windows probably aren't any bigger than this. And you can see one right there, and there's not any air passing through it. It's hotter than blue blazes. And we carry a tarp if we know that there's not going to be a lot of room. And that way the kids can sit on it, although the babies will go ahead and play in the dirt, you know, during church. And, you know, these padded pews that you're sitting in, be grateful for them. Because a lot of churches don't have enough pews or any pews. So you take a bench from your house and take it to the church building and go back with it. Church of Sac pays church building. They have taken concrete and mixed it with the sand and mud and put that on the side of their building. Bitolato, we had a vacation Bible school. We actually had four tarps laid out, and all of them were filled with children. And there were some adults. You can see this guy right here. He's back there coloring. They have not really ever been introduced to crayons. And even the adults, they love them. They love to sit down and to color. And if you'll notice, everybody is watching to see what the other one is doing. Candy and the others, when they come, they'll have an example of the color sheet. And they want to do it exactly like that color sheet is. Because they, and you'll see him, that little boy, he's looking around to see what everybody else is doing because they don't want to be different. They want to all be just alike. And that's where, you know, the village mentality is, we would say. They like everything to be the same. No one wants to be different. And that's different than our society here in the United States. You're seeing a number of baptisms. This is at Nanjuni. The other one is Sobito. They're preparing to go ahead and these young people to be baptized. Sometimes it's difficult to find water, and especially during the dry season, you're looking around. This guy is a church leader. His name is Simone. We try very hard to always teach the church leaders how to baptize, not to wait on us. If someone needs to be baptized, baptize them. And so he's out there putting them under. There's going to be some more that you're going to see. And notice this leg that he's actually putting his leg on the other legs. Now they'll cross them, and that way those feet don't come up, especially if the water is not very deep, and usually it's not. Now this young lady, Godfrey is going to baptize her, and the floor, the creek, or the water hole is slick. She's trying to stand up. Wadik, again, water was very, very scarce. This is a river, but during the dry season, it dries up and just leaves these pools. You can see the kids are out there. They're washing their clothes, and they're getting to see what a baptism actually is. This is Brother Noah, and doing the baptizing. But pay close attention to the water. This is what most of the water looks like. And if they're lucky to have bore holes, that's good. They stay a lot healthier. But some places, this was a mud hole. You see how he's doing the double take? He's actually pushing her down into the mud to make sure that she gets covered. And there's going to be one shot here. You're going to laugh, but you know it just makes you realize not everybody has a baptistry like we've got. This one got a little bit afraid, so I had to redo this one. But you see, it pushing them down in to be able to get them under. And this young lady was one of those that were baptized, and her back was just covered with mud. I carry this 5 gallon of clean water for the vehicle, and so we're trying to get some of the mud scraped off of her. And then these were a group from Naloni that was baptized, and so we were pleased about that. And that comes to the end of our video. And of course, we want to thank you for all the support and everything that you do for us. And you'll just be amazed to come to a place like that, and any that have come over, it's no different than any place else in the world. There's other places that are the same. And so there's just a lot of things that we take for granted that we live in. But now, of course, I have to say, things are starting to move towards the third world side here in the United States, which is not some things that I care to really think about in my own country, but it's going to happen if we don't watch, you know, what we do. Anyway, we've got about 10 minutes. Does anyone have any questions about anything that you've seen, or any questions about the work? She's saying part of the time, she noticed that part of the time there was a breeze blowing, and, you know, what does that breeze do? The breeze comes a lot of the time during the dry season, and that is like a hot wind that comes through, especially around March. Independence Day for Ghana is March the 6th. And so it usually about that time, it is so hot, you just don't want to be out. You have to be, but, you know, it's just really, really hot. It's the rainy season right now, and it's usually cooler, but the last time I talked with Timothy Nilagrani, there hadn't been any rain except for one time in the month of June. So I don't know, and I haven't talked to him lately to know what's happening, but it's usually cooler, but about 2 months ago, we had a day that the temperature was 119 degrees. There had been some rain come through earlier, and the humidity was up. We had a heat index of 132, and I know that because it was on my little weather station. How many villages do we have around our compound? We actually live in the village of Hindi. It is the largest village in West Africa. It hadn't been incorporated. It's about the size of Athens. The villages, we actually work with about 35 congregations. And the villages that are all around, it's really amazing when you look at it. From the air, you can see the little cobwebs where they have connecting roads to all the different villages. And surprisingly enough, they don't build villages around water. Why they don't do that, I don't know. You know, here in the United States, if towns were built, they're going to build it near a water source. That's not the case. And I think one of the reasons for that is because it's the women's job to fetch the water. And the men doesn't have to do it. And the women don't really hold a place of respect amongst the people. So, you know, if you've got to walk 5 miles to get water, so be it. Your husband's not, he doesn't care. Is anyone doing any drilling of wells over there? Yes, they've had a Church of Christ well drillers have been there for years, but you know they have others. The Chinese have come in. In fact, we had the Chinese drill our well years ago, back in 2001. That well has since gone dry to where we can't use water. So water is a real problem for us. Candy's dad, Royce Reynolds, he built two cisterns, and we catch during the rainy season water to be able to do our washing. We have piped water, but we might be lucky if we get water once a week. Usually we don't get enough. We might be able to fill a 55 gallon drum once or twice. So, you know, water can be a problem. And we filter our water too, but we don't use that water. We'll buy what they call bagged water and filter it as well.
How close are you to some of the surrounding dangers they have?
How close are we to the surrounding dangers that are over in that area? Ghana is actually one of the most safe countries in West Africa. Now, in between, if you go east, there's two small countries. There's Togo and, it used to be Dahomey. It's not Dahomey. What is it, Candy? Benin. And the next country is Nigeria. I don't want to be there. Steve Worley, I take my hat off to him. But that's one country that I really don't want to have to deal with. That's where Boko Haram is at. They've gone down in their power, but the community that we live in is Muslim. It's probably 95% Muslim. The people that we work with in the village are Kakumbas, which they're predominantly pagans. The Dagumbas that are in the town and mixed throughout the district are predominantly Muslim. We don't fear for our life as far as, you know, the Muslims go. We're highly respected in the town. But, you know, there are some places. You want to pull it up for me? Thank you. Right there is Indy. You can actually... Right there. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Now, I don't know whether they can see it very well with the lights. But right here is the compound. There's that big mango tree that we talk about. And it's huge. I said this one. No, it's not. This one is. This is the big mango. This is our house where we live. This is the child center. And then these are the round houses right here. And our property, there's a fence that's right here that goes back. The property, the other fence goes here and across and back. There's 11 acres that Royce bought when he was over there. He bought it with his own money. And so, when we're talking, this is the field that they were plowing in. It's right here. But that gives you an idea. And there's a lot more houses around here. This is an old satellite photo. There's a lot more houses that are around here now. We used to be out in the bush. We're no longer in the bush. There's a multitude of houses that are around there. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you doing that. Yes? Okay. He's asking, are the people literate? There are some that are literate. There are a lot of them. Most of the people that are literate are males. The women are the ones that, if you have a boy or a girl, it's going to be the boy that goes to school. The girl's going to have to, you know, have to stay back. We started a project where we get these Bibles that are on, it's about the size of a transistor radio, that we started giving those to each congregation, to the women. We didn't give it to the men. Oh, and the men, they jealoused. They jealoused the women. That's their expression. Because they want to be able to have this. It's real simple. We buy them and we take them from the... we buy them here in the States. We take them over. I get tongue-tied here. Really working out great. The women are really, they like it. They can work the buttons, and they're able to hear it in their own language. And that has been a great success. And in fact, we bought some more. We're taking some, and the more, you know, they cost $100 per unit. And so we take those over. Really a big success story. We're really pleased with that. But we do, we have the Kakumba Bibles. that we buy. We've been able to get some. We've got a good supply in now. So I don't know if that helps to answer your question. They're schooling there. Their 12th grade over there probably would have maybe an education. I'm talking about the Bush villages. They might have a 5th or 6th grade education equivalent. So they try. But yeah, Mark. We have converted 4 Muslims since we've been over there. Let me tell you something, and the more that we live over there, the more I realize that the Muslim faith actually may very well have been patterned after Judaism. You know, the Jews were born a Jew. A Muslim is born a Muslim. You can say that you come from a Muslim family and that you're not Muslim, but you're always a Muslim. And so, you know, there's a lot of pressure that are put on. Candy and I know a young man who was converted to the gospel in the South, and his brother, well, in fact, it's Mr. Oman that you might hear us writing in the notes talking about Mr. Oman. His younger brother was converted, but when he comes to Indy, he is a Muslim because otherwise his family will not own him and will not pay for his schooling that he's doing down in the South. You talk about pressure, there's a lot of pressure that's put on by the Muslims. So, anybody else can share? Girl, she's saying, you know, about talking about the water. How do they keep from getting sick by drinking this water? They do get sick. That's the whole problem. The guinea worm, they have been able to eradicate it from Ghana. The guinea worm is a worm that lives in the water in a little critter that can be strained out by a cloth. But what happens is when the little critter is, you take it into your body, the stomach acid destroys the little critter, and then the worm, the guinea worm that's inside, is allowed to be freed. And he bores through the stomach lining and goes through the lymph system. And he can come out any place on your body. They're nasty. You know, and so, that, but that's, you know, we teach sanitation, and I teach sanitation since, you know, being a nurse. I'm a nurse here in the States, but I'm also a registered nurse there. And so, you know, that I purposely do that to try to give a little bit of a clout to what, you know, we're teaching. But it's difficult. It's a very difficult thing. She's saying, you know, some of these kids that are getting baptized just because others are being baptized, that we're always concerned about that, and we want to make sure that they're not. But let me tell you something, it happens here in the States too. And that's why, you know, we just come from camp. And, you know, that's why you don't want it to be that kind of situation. You're teaching it, not, you know, some people say, well, you know, I want to join the church. They're hoping that they're going to be able to get something from it. And the only thing that we promise them, and I say this, the only thing we promise you is salvation. And not that we're giving it, but we're teaching you how you can have salvation. And it's a difficult situation. You'll get a lot of, I'm looking at Mabel, with a lot of your Bible correspondence courses, you'll get a lot of kids that are taking the Bible correspondence courses. They will do that also so that they'll get a Bible sent to them. And that way, they may read it, they may not. But it's to be able to get something. Folks, living in a third world country and not having anything, people do a lot of things that we wouldn't do because we've got money. And, you know, it's just a different world. Didn't mean to be up here preaching. Anybody else? Yes, Sharon. My mother and father-in-law, you're talking about in Ghana as general or where we live? It around that there was some work that had gone on earlier in the 1990s, but Royce and Cindy got over there in, it was 96 or 97, and there were some others. They were also over there with a group, and so it's been that long. Kenny and I started over there in 2001. But any time that you have a question or want to know about something, feel free to ask us. Especially when we're living over there. You know, we've got the email, taylorsinghana@gmail.com. We use that one here and we use it over there. If you ever have a question about something that you've read, feel free to write us. We've got plenty of time to be able to write and answer questions. That's part of a missionary's responsibility. You know, if you're supporting them, you need to know what's going on, and you need to feel free to ask questions. And I want to thank you so much. I don't want to keep you all. You all may need to make a mad dash to the restroom, but thank you for listening so kindly, and I hope that you've learned a little bit of something about our work.